This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Boris Eisen, Greg Giannotti, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. The Mets wake up, make an off-season move, bringing back Jay Bruce. The Knicks with a pathetic, disgusting, frustrating loss to the Bulls last night. And do we have, finally, a favorite emerging in the Giants coaching search? Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
I'm doing well this morning. And by the way, I think we could tell that there's something special going on here at WFAN today. If you see us on the CBS Sports Network, what do you think, Al? Is there something special going on today?
You're all dressed up.
Somebody got dressed up. Somebody's, like, getting used to being in front of the camera.
It has nothing to do with that.
Well, yes, it does. I know exactly what's going on. Your lovely wife decided, look, we got to pick up our game a little bit. We got to be a little bit better dressed. We can't be wearing the sweaters from Chess King. And we got to be doing our thing. And look at you. You're all dressed up today. I know today's picture day. Here at WFAN for me and
Greg. That's why I'm dressed up.
Yeah.
I know I'm basically a slob, but what he's wearing, that's considered better dressed?
Yeah, actually it is.
Well, I mean, than what I've been wearing.
So he looks good today. I'm very proud of you, and I know your wife had major influence on this.
Yes, it's the button-down shirt with the sweater over it.
The V-neck sweater. It's nice.
Which is not something that I do. This is not me. So the guy Frank, who's running this picture thing, he comes to me yesterday, he goes, "You okay with the clothes? You know what you're going to wear?" And I said, "Yeah, I mean, I was told by Al, casual but clean." Yes. So I'm going to go that route. And he goes, "Just wear something that's you." So what do? I wear something that's totally not me.
Oh, that is you. It looks good. You look very good
today.
It's
not me. I've never worn this before.
I think you look good today, and I think Gina did a great job.
Well, she did do a good job in dressing me,
man. It's so much better than an oatmeal sweater. If you would have shown up with that oatmeal sweater.
Catholic high school dress code from, like, the late 80s.
No. Eddie and I are on the same page with this.
Bang.
This is what I was saying to her. I said, "It's not me. Do I look a little too?"
And by the way, are we just going to hang all our jerseys right up along the wall over there?
Sure. That's what we're going to do. I don't know if CBS Sports Network is going to put that up there, but
no,
yeah,
I've got it. I mean, you got two jerseys over there, and you'll have a few more, I'm sure, before the week's out.
Yeah, right. This entire wall here, I think, is long enough and big enough to have
every local team.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, all Giannotti jerseys.
I could tell you for sure that the Rangers will not be sending you a jersey over.
Well, why not?
Well, why should they?
Well, because everybody else has been nice enough to do that.
They got the Ranger jersey behind me. That's all we need. We don't need any more. You don't need a Ranger jersey. You're a Fergazi hockey fan. I don't want to hear about it.
Did the afternoon drive need all Ranger jerseys?
Well, no, they didn't. But
okay,
and they need something, because that studio over there is like a pigsty. I mean, honestly, there is no life in that. Well, I say no life. There's life there, but there's just, like, you walk in and there's Mons, right, and McMonagle, right, and it's just like you might as well be like in Kazakhstan or something. Over there.
Kazakhstan. I mean,
Kazakhstan, Kazakhstan, whatever. Turkey, maybe Turkey with Enes Kanter. I don't know. But there's, like, no light. I mean,
what are you getting at here?
Like, when you look behind Al and Eddie, right, what do you see?
Well, you see pictures. You see nice pictures. You got Rangers pictures, Yankees pictures. I mean, it feels like an environment. You got to remember, too, this is also a TV studio, so there's going to be more light there.
Well, I'm just saying, but Al, if you could, in the next break, when you go over to the Mike Francesa studio, because that's the only thing that's there. It's got the badge on the door. And then it's got a wall plaque.
Yeah.
And that's it. I mean, it's nothing. And there's nothing behind Mons and McMonagle. There's nothing in there. It's like it's desolate. You know what I mean?
But they're not on television.
I know, but you got to have something, right?
Everybody shares it, so.
But you got to have something. Like, there's no life. There's no feeling in there.
No life.
It's just, like, so cold. It's like an old Soviet building in St. Petersburg back in the day.
Do you think that's influencing the program? Do you think that when they show up there?
I don't think anybody has any pride about it. Like, they don't care.
Hmm.
They don't seem to care. I know Maggie cares. I don't know what the rest of the idiots over there. They probably don't care.
They don't care about the environment there, huh? They don't care about
Have you seen it?
I've seen it. I see it every day.
So you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, right. I do. I don't think it's that big of a deal.
All right, so you look nice today. Their studios is just absolutely dreary. That's what it is. It's dreary. It's like Buffalo or Cleveland in a dank February day.
Well, Carlin's
That's what it's like.
He's just putting up all his stuff in the office now.
Oh, I saw that yesterday,
I
too.
I had to remove some of those things. Like the...
So, like, when you come in, he had some sort of high school trophy in there.
Yeah, I left that stuff because that was funny.
But what you should do is when you come in, put all his stuff in a drawer, and then it's your office.
Yeah, that's what I thought about.
He puts all your stuff in a drawer, takes his stuff out, and then becomes his office.
Well, I took the jerseys out of there and put them in here, and I took his Rutgers flag off the wall because it was just too, it was humongous. He put a humongous flag, big R, on the wall. So I took that down, I folded it with respect, and I put it on the radiator.
You don't want that.
No, I wasn't really interested. I wasn't interested in that one. So, yeah, we'll see. I think it's going to calm down now. I felt a little bad yesterday.
Why?
Well, I listened to you on with them.
Yes.
And Carlin was making a joke about me making fun of him, but I could tell because I've known him for a long time. It was getting to him. And normally I would just keep attacking.
Right.
But he's in. It's new. It's different for him now. Pressure. He's got Chernoff breathing down his neck. I think I might lay off him a little bit. I think I might lay off him for just like a week or two.
You know, I could actually tell that. I could tell myself. I think that the self-deprecation on his part is like over the top now.
Yeah, yeah. I for whatever reason, he's lost his confidence. So, and
maybe
I could tell.
Because you're beating him down. I don't know.
No, but I thought normally. But here's the thing.
Loss of bone.
Yeah, I think maybe a little of that, too. But I've been doing that Carlin impersonation since he was doing Giants pregame in 2007, and I was producing it. I used to say in his ear, I used to do the lisp and everything else and get on him for his crutch words and everything. I used to do that then, and we used to laugh about it. So I figured this was a natural fit now for me to bring that back.
Yeah, well, back then, nobody was listening to you guys. Now, everybody's listening
to you guys. I think it was getting to him. So what I'll do is I'll...
Just kind of back off
a little bit. Yeah, I'm going to lay off for a little bit till he gets comfortable again, gets his confidence back. You know, maybe bark and smack some sense into him a little bit.
Yeah, you are such a good guy.
That's what I do around here.
Right.
I mean, not everybody can be as confident as us. I understand that. He's having some problems with that. You know, and he's looking at the Twitter comments yesterday. That was not a good thing. They read their bad Twitter comments. One guy said he looked like a bag of milk. That was not...
Well, how would they know what they look like? They're not on TV.
Well, they do the videos.
Oh,
they
I see.
They do the
That's
pre-show
right.
videos.
Okay.
Yeah,
Why are they doing that? They don't have to do that.
Well, they think that
I
they
mean,
do.
Is Chernoff in there telling them to do that?
Yeah, I mean, maybe
it's Maggie's influence from being on SportsIllustrated.com.
Right. Yeah, maybe. But if I'm Carlin, I'm about to start the show, and I look down, and someone said I look like a bag of milk. I mean, that's it for the day. I'm done. Yeah. Mentally, I'm done. So, we'll see.
All right, so anyway, here's a couple questions for you.
Okay.
Number one, what came out of last night's Knicks game is kind of interesting. You know, Enes Kanter has not been playing a lot in the fourth quarter. So obviously they go over to and they ask him, you know, why aren't you playing? And he's like, well, I don't know. And it's kind of like a little snarky, a little bit ticked off. You know, he's basically a double-double waiting to happen, right? I mean, every night he's going to get double the rebounds and, you know, double digit points and the whole thing. And he seems like he's a really, you know, great teammate. He says all the right things publicly and all that other stuff. I know why Hornacek doesn't want to play him. I wish Hornacek would just tell him and be professional with him because, according to Kanter, they haven't discussed this, you know, which is not a good thing. I mean, like, a coach has got to communicate. A coach has got to be open. A coach has got to be honest. And coach should just tell him.
Yeah.
If you want fourth quarter minute, I know why they're playing O'Quinn. I know it. And you could see it. There's defense there. There's physicality
there. A couple big blocks late in the game last night.
You know, but they're not winning. They're not winning. For whatever reason, they're not winning. So the fourth quarter kind of makeup should change. I don't know. I mean, I don't know what you do in basketball to kind of get your team over the hump. But, you know, they've lost three in a row now to the Chicago Bulls, who basically are a mirror image of themselves.
And it's all in excruciating, as Mike Breen, I think that was the word that he used last night, excruciating fashion, too.
Right.
Every one of these losses.
Exactly. And last night's game was actually entertaining.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you saw two middle-of-the-road teams trying to rebuild themselves. You know, up-tempo, a lot of offense, a lot of three-point shots, all that kind of stuff. But there's an issue now for the Knicks. So when you lose games like this on your home court, because it is a black hole on the road, okay, on your home court, you know, there's something wrong. There's something wrong with the team. I know Tim Hardaway Jr. is not playing, so that's a big portion of it. But I also know that if Enes Kanter is upset about not playing in the fourth quarter, or the media is asking him why he's not playing in the fourth quarter, and he acts as if he doesn't really have an answer, then he and Jeff Hornacek, I mean, they see each other every day. Hey, Enes, I want to come, you know, come talk to me in my office.
Enes.
We're on the road. Let's go have breakfast together. Let's have a conversation as to how you can get more time, because I do think that he is a legitimate offensive threat in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, it wasn't a problem for me last night, not having him on the floor.
This has happened now the last couple games.
Yeah, exactly. And Hornacek should have communication. He can't be doing that, especially with a guy that's so passionate about being here.
I'm going by what he said.
I know, and he said it's weird. He kept saying it was weird that he's not in there, and obviously the communication is an issue. But he should know it's because of his defense. I mean, that's what it is.
It just kind of makes me feel like he's going to be traded.
It's a possibility now, especially when you can't win games that you're supposed to win, like this one at home against the Bulls. But the problem with the Knicks is that there's not a single person that they have healthy right now that you trust to make the right play, to not turn the ball over, to hit the big shot in crunch minutes. Jarrett Jack last night, amazing, right? They had that inbounds play.
Oh, it was awesome.
With Jack to Porzingis, dunk, tie game.
You know what I love that? You know what I love about that? That's actually a coach calling a play and those guys executing it and it working.
But then you see Jarrett Jack later in overtime with the horrible turnover as he tries to get the ball to Beasley for God knows what reason. I mean, Clyde was just losing his mind on the broadcast. Like, you're the point guard. What the hell are you doing? This is what I'm saying.
And that's why they're bringing Trey Burke in.
Right. The Knicks don't have someone, and Porzingis isn't that guy either. Now, he hits the big three at one point, but then he
disappears.
Shucking up threes for the rest of the overtime, and he didn't seem like he had a lot of energy. He wasn't driving, wasn't doing anything outside of that dunk. So, I mean, to me, is Hardaway Jr. that guy that's going to come back and take over a game late in the game? Is someone going to step up? Is it going to be Neal Akina at some point? But right now, I'll tell you who it's not. It's not Kristaps Porzingis.
Well, it's not Neal Akina either right now.
Well, at some point, he could be.
Neal Akina is like mentally exhausted right now. We got to do it again. We got to play this guy now. You know, all these professional seasons are just, they go on forever, right? And for the kids that are experiencing it for the first time, you know, in every sport, you know, get mentally exhausted because it's just never ending. And the stress and the anxiety that come along with that. Now, it's something that they all hope for and they wish for and they want it in their life. But they got to learn to deal with all that stuff. And I just think some of the, you know, like Neal Akina has kind of hit that wall. I just feel like he's just not there yet, you know, and he's still a kid. Next year he'll be so much better. But as far as Jarrett Jack is concerned, so what is a point guard needs to distribute the ball, needs to know when to go to the hoop, needs to know when to kick the ball out and all that. There's a lot of stuff going on when he has the ball in his hands. And I'm not just talking about Jarrett Jack. I'm just talking about a point guard in general. And it's almost like when a defenseman is in the corner and he's trying to dig out the puck. You know, you got to have like the poise and you got to be able to be calm under really extreme duress. So when the point guard is coming down the middle of the court and he's got a guy to his left side, his wing, like Beasley in this case, and he's going to throw Beasley the pass. I mean, he's got to make sure, he's got to have the ability to not be frenetic and be crazed and just be out of control. You know, everything has got to be under control. Everything's got to be solid. The decision-making, like I always say, like a defenseman in their zone, you got to make sure you're on the right side of the body as opposed to the wrong side. When you're digging out the puck on the boards, you got to have your stick in the right spot, all that kind of stuff. The same thing with a point guard, especially late in the game.
Yeah.
When the game really becomes hairy.
And they might not have even gotten to that point in the game without how well Jack played, and that's the catch-22 with this team, is they're good, but they're just not that
they
good.
Beasley,
too. I mean, this guy was dominant. And you think about when he's in the game, I mean, he's carrying the team offensively. He is the guy that you want to work the offense through, and then late in the fourth and in overtime, he can't hit a shot to save his life.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really the problem with them, is like they're only good to a certain point, and they just don't have the capability of getting over the hump. And now, if these are the games that if you want to survive for a longer period of time, you got to win, and it's going to just get uglier and uglier and uglier for them.
Let me ask you this, I don't know the answer to this, so it's kind of like I'm just throwing it out there. Where would you rank the Nick point guard situation as it currently sits amongst the other NBA teams?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of potential with Neil Aquina, right? There's a ton of potential.
I'm not talking about potential.
There.
I'm talking about right now.
Well, right
on
now,
the
it's.
Court.
I mean, it's pretty bad. I mean, you got a veteran who is basically just a guy in Jarrett Jack, who's going to give you a mediocre game most of the time, and he can maybe be pretty good 25% of the time. And you got a 19-year-old from France who, as you said, is mentally exhausted. And you look at the guys that were drafted around him in Dennis Smith Jr. and Donovan Mitchell, who were basically fighting for Rookie of the Year. I mean, yeah, it's not a good situation for them right now.
I think it's just, you know what it is? I just feel like they're overwhelmed. So the more you see, like, Nick Foles threw 4 touchdown passes against the Giants. That was great. He came back, brought his team back. Okay, we don't have a problem at quarterback. And then all of a sudden he starts the next game. And the more you see, the more you realize why he's not the everyday guy. The more you see of Jarrett Jack, why you like him and you like his intensity and you like that, you know, he plays hard, the decision-making is mind-boggling at times.
Well, yeah.
And you say to yourself, now you realize why this guy's never really stuck anywhere to where he could become an everyday point guard. Now, if you went and told him that, how do you think he'd feel about that?
Well, but he knows, I'm sure.
I don't know.
The guy's
if they know.
Been in the league since 2005. He understands who he is.
Let's go to Adam in Staten Island. Adam, what's happening?
What's up, guys?
How you doing?
You guys are dancing around the problem and you're saying it, but it is only the point guard. The point guard is the biggest problem with this team.
Yeah.
They don't have a guy who can penetrate, and they have not had a guy since I've been watching. And I'm 40 years old, so since I've been able to understand the game, since maybe Mark Jackson, they haven't had a guy who can penetrate and break down a defense. Until they get that, this team will be what they are. Because if this team had a point guard, you could add 8 to 10 more wins to this team. They have enough talent around them that if they had a guy who could penetrate and break down defense, they have enough guys who could score.
And not throw the ball away in crunch time.
Absolutely.
I mean, I'd not be a turnover machine. That's, you know, and that's the problem. Like, Jarrett Jack may have only 3 turnovers in a game, but 2 of them come in the last 5 minutes of the game.
Right. I mean, that one was just mind-boggling.
But
the Beasley one.
You can't have that.
No,
you know what
of
I mean?
Course
that's,
not.
That's, and that's the thing. I mean, it's frustrating. Like, last night was really entertaining.
Yeah, I was thinking last night watching this game, especially when it gets into overtime and the Garden's into it and everything else, that people talk about the NBA regular season being totally lost because you know who the good teams are.
Sure.
Like, here you have the Knicks and the Bulls. The Bulls are, what, 17 games under 500. The Knicks are hovering around 500, and their season's going to go to hell now. But, I mean, everybody's into it. It's fun. It's great basketball. It's young players. You got Markkanen with the Bulls who's doing amazing things. You know, Porzingis did not have a great night, but still, you know, his potential. There's a lot there. But then when you lose that game and then you look ahead in the schedule, it's devastating because you know that it's just going to totally fall apart. And as far as the point guard situation, a guy who could drive and all of that, there was someone who was drafted right after Frank Ntilikina who's doing all of that on a bad basketball team in Dennis Smith Jr. Now, I know that he didn't give the medicals and wouldn't take a physical for the Knicks, and that sort of changed everything for them. But he is that guy. That's why LeBron said it a couple months ago about they should have drafted him.
You just got to hope that Ntilikina, you know, is a much more mature player next year and continues to grow this year. So I didn't expect great winning basketball, but what I did get last night at least was a very entertaining game, and they were in it, but it was, as Derek will tell you right now from the Bronx, frustrating, right, Derek?
Yes. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Very frustrating. I have to say this. I almost broke my TV looking at this game. And let's be honest, somebody needs to question Hornacek. This Knicks team, I love my Knicks, but this is not a playoff team. His rotation of his players is driving me crazy.
Who do you want to see more of? Who do you want to see more of?
Why is Joakim Noah not playing? I understand.
No. I mean, that's not the guy. You can't go with Noah, Derek. Come on.
No, listen to me. I know he's not an offensive player. He's a defense. But some of these plays that the Knicks play, they make the same mistakes over and over. You need to play every. Why is not Session not playing? Why is Willie Holt Gomez not playing?
Well, Session's going to be gone once they bring in Burke. I mean, that's going to be over with. If you want to have, like, the rotation thing, I thought you had a good point there, and I was going to agree with you, because there's times I'm, like, totally mind-boggled, where it's a crunch time 3 minutes to go in the fourth quarter, and he's dusting off Willie Hernan Gomez for the first time in the game and throwing him out there. Or Joakim Noah, at the end of the third quarter, gets 2 minutes, picks up 2 fouls, can't keep up with anybody, and looks like he's running in water when everybody else is normal.
Well, that's a remnant of the Phil Jackson deal.
Well,
so
yeah, but
I don't know exactly. I mean, he's the coach, right? So he knows his players and he knows the situation, and he's probably doing a lot of this stuff, I would imagine, by gut, by feel. And you know, and it's not worked out for them, especially late in games. I mean, it's got to be so frustrating. You know, Hornacek played with the great John Stockton, right? And John Stockton will go down as a top five point guard in the history of the NBA. A guy who, when he had the ball in his hands, was not going to turn it over, could get it to Malone, could run a pick and roll. I mean, all the basics that don't seem all that hard, he could handle it because he had the personality to handle it. You know, it's kind of like, you know, Peyton Manning playing quarterback. You know, like when the game is on the line, all of a sudden, that's when they raise their level of game, and that's when they love it the most. Like, Michael Jordan was so great at the end of games. Why? Because he loved the moment, and that's when he focused in the most. And, like, the Knicks just don't have that guy. Now, Tim Hardaway Jr., I thought when he's in the mix, he's a big difference maker. There's no question about that.
Yeah, and hopefully we see him soon. You could also say that this Knicks team is overachieved, too. You could say that, and that Hornacek's getting more out of this team than we've seen. There were a lot of people that were thinking the Knicks would be right there at the bottom of the conference and fighting for that lottery number one overall pick or the most ping pong balls. People were thinking
that. But
here's
the deal. You know, when you have Kanter and you have Porzingis on the court together, you have 2 7-footers out there.
Yeah, but
and they actually play well together.
Well, think about, nobody thought Kanter was going to be as good as he was. Nobody thought Beasley would be as good as he was.
But,
I mean,
they're offensive good, I guess. But I guess Hornacek feels that the defense and the effort is not there from Kanter in the fourth quarter, and all of this crap that Kanter keeps talking about publicly is nothing but hot air. Like, he's saying the right things, but that doesn't mean he's doing the right things.
Well, he's saying the right things, and I want to be here forever, and I love the Knicks, and this is my favorite city.
And we have to play with passion.
And all that stuff.
So go out there and play with passion in the fourth quarter and shut down the other team and play defense and show effort. Then I'll match your performance in the fourth quarter if you're out there with the words that you're giving us.
Yeah, but there's some guys that are just not capable. That just, they are. Like, Kanter's going to give you some scoring. He's like instant offense off the bench. That's what he was in Oklahoma City. And he's a guy who's going to grab you a ton of rebounds from time to time. But outside of that, I mean, he's not going to be a defensive player of the year, and they got to understand that.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.